Welcome to the Borough Life podcast with James and Rosie.
Every month we chat to local guests to celebrate the great things happening in and around Wigan Borough. Let's get started, shall we?
Hello and welcome to the Borough Life podcast. Rosie, we're up to episode 4 for the year. Who have we got coming on today?
So today we've got Oliver and Julie coming on to chat all things elections. And I know, as a bit of a politics geek, it's your favourite time of year.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. And yeah, it's an exciting time of year for us in the lead up to polling day itself. May the 2nd this year, we've got local elections for Wigan Council and also the GM mayoral elections. And yeah, Julie and Oliver gave us some great insight into their role and the background info about what you need to know in the lead up to that day in May. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Rosie, should we just get on with it?
Yep, let's go.
It's James here, and me and Rosie are back in our usual studio in Wigan Town Centre. We've got a special episode today focused just on the elections, the local elections this year. And we're joined by Julie and Oliver, colleagues from the Town Hall. So Julie and Oliver, please introduce yourselves and tell us what your jobs are.
Hi James, I'm Julie Coplin. I'm the Principal Electoral Services Officer for Wigan Council. So our team deals with the conduct and administration of the elections and the electoral registration side of things. So yeah, we're coming up to a busy period. We've got elections on the 2nd of May.
I'm Oliver. I've worked at Wigan since 2009 and I'm the Senior Electoral Services Officer. Exactly what Julie said, busy times coming up. And yeah, love working in the elections team here at Wigan.
So guys, it's really nice to have you on. Elections is one of my favourite times of the year, but that it may not be the case for everyone across the council or everyone across the borough. Before we talk about your roles and what you've got coming up over the next few weeks, could you tell us, I feel like people might think that your role is something that you go into hibernation for 9 months and then currently you've got a very busy period around election time. I know that's not the case. Please, can you explain kind of what the background to your role is and some of the things that you're doing throughout the year?
Yeah, people do have this perception that we just work one day a year. And, you know, we spoke about this and I can see the logic behind that because they go out to vote on that one day of the year or however many days of the year that the elections take place. But there is a massive organisational wheel that we've got to go through, a massive process, lots of administration, booking the polling station premises, dealing with the candidates and the agents. We've also got an annual canvass that we take place during the summer months as well, and that's compiling the electoral registration. And the backbone to elections and the accuracy of the electoral registration is really paramount. So our electoral registration, is that's accurate, that helps the election process so much. It's just months and months of leading up to an election in terms of the preparation, the planning side of things. There's poll cards that go out, so we've got to do data preparation for that. Postal votes we've got to prepare for. And like I said, booking of the polling stations and so much that goes into it.
Yeah, it's a huge operation, isn't it? If you think there are listeners at home, you might go out and vote in your, so for the local elections, your local ward. There's lots of polling stations, isn't there, in each ward? Yeah. All those have got to be sorted by yourselves. There's lots of organisation around that. So yeah, it's Oliver, you probably can describe it a lot better than me. Yeah. It's a big thing that needs organising.
It's huge. It really is. When you think of the size of the borough, the number of residents that we've got here, even just the staffing is a huge operation in itself. You know, we've got 163 polling stations. All of those are required by law to have a presiding officer and a poll clerk. And then, of course, once we've got all of votes have been, you know, cast, we've then got to count those votes. And again, that's a huge process across two count locations. We've got one in Wigan, we've got one in Lee. So again, it's all of these things that maybe the general public don't understand, the preparation to actually get them to go through that door of the polling station or for them to get their postal vote. It's massive.
It obviously is that such a big lead up for one day. It must be like Christmas. What does it feel like when that day finally arrives?
It doesn't feel like Christmas. it really doesn't. It's really stressful, to be honest with you, isn't it, Julie? You know, we put in so much work for it to happen on just that one day. You know, there's months and months and months of preparation for one day. That's our lives. That's our working lives.
Yeah. There's so much that That can be out of our control, and it all comes together on the day. But when it does come together and it's been successful, with the, you know, it's a real sense of achievement. It really is. It's like, oh, wow, that's been done. And we've been doing it for years, me and Oliver now. We've kind of grown up in the field of elections. It's we're so knowledgeable with it.
No, and we get to kind of see like the inside look, really, in our roles, Rosie, of the all the effort that goes in, and everything does go really smoothly on the day. And that's because of you guys. You talk about, I like Rosie, you're saying there, is it like a Christmas day? I like the thought of election day being like Christmas. But that's obviously the days that we know kind of the local election cycle is, you know what's going to happen, don't you, years in advance. And obviously we had the big year last year with the all-out elections. We're now back to the normal third of the council chamber that's up this year. And then we've got a fallow year, haven't we? Next year,
yeah.
But obviously there's floating around is obviously the prospect of a general election, and you guys obviously do all the same organisation and preparation for that. And in recent years, obviously we had the Brexit referendum, there was the European Parliament elections.
Yep.
So this year as well, we've got the Greater Manchester mayoral elections, and it's all you guys, isn't it, basically? So that. When we're talking about that preparation, it's across all of those formats.
Yeah. There's other elections that we run. We have neighbourhood planning referendums. But yeah, we run all types of elections.
There's all sorts, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
The general election is actually something we keep hearing, and we're like on tender hooks because obviously we're going to have an even busier period once that's announced. But general elections, we've had a couple of snap ones, obviously,
yes.
19 and 17. And we turn those around, and that is a massive accomplishment because we do have a higher turnout and we have a lot more interest, and it does impact on the service a lot greater than local elections in that respect. So,
yeah. And I know as well, we'll get slightly serious for a second here. It's rare for us that we don't normally get this serious, but there is something, isn't it, about the integrity of the electoral process is vitally important, yeah. Isn't it, for the country, for our sense of democracy, and you guys are responsible for that, aren't you, in terms of the making sure it all runs smoothly. It's pressure, but you know, you guys do a great job, and we see it on election day. I want to talk about election day and the counts in a little bit. I just wondered whether, just whilst we stay on your roles, it's maybe one of those things within a council's function that people might not go into their careers thinking that they want to be, elections officers. Could you kind of tell us your background stories and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, I started at 16 at Bolton Council, and I studied part-time, and I went down the democratic services route, but elections then joined that team, and then I became more involved with the elections, and it actually just something triggered, and I enjoyed that side of things, so I went down that line. I then did a degree part-time at Manchester University. And then I moved on to Stockport Council. And then further on than that, I came to Wigan. And those three authorities have all got different logistical kind of administrative ways that they run their elections. So I've completely just grown up in the world of elections. And it is, it's a niche specialist kind of role. And we do, we're like a little clique of people. And I think Oliver's had a similar experience to me in that respect as well.
Yeah, so I joined Wigan in 2009, but prior to that, I worked in the elections office at Sefton Council. I started at 17. I was doing a part-time course in public services, which I got, and then I carried on with studies and did a HND in public services, all at the same time while still working in elections. So, like Julie, growing up in it, lots of changes since we first started. There seems to be more and more changes to the law every year, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on. But yeah, it's not something that, you dream of growing up and doing. I certainly didn't. There was various other sporting things I would have probably preferred to have done. But, we're here now and we love it.
Yeah, you can see that. And I think, how passionate you both are. It's really nice to see. So I'm going to fast forward, take us to election day. I've been to a couple of the counts now, and there's always a real buzz in the air, isn't there, when they're counting. But can imagine for you, it's not quite as relaxed. But can you just tell us a bit about like the process of election day, I guess?
So we're at that day, and we get up really early. We get up and get to the to get to town hall 6:30 in the morning. We start to take calls, troubleshooting. People can't find the polling booths. So just these kind of troubleshooting things, and we got there in the end. But, you know, 99.9 times out of, you know, 100, it's actually a case of they're all really... It all runs smoothly and they all do get open in time. So there's those little glitches that can happen. So we have to troubleshoot those. What we do find is people will rock up to the wrong polling station. So we'll deal with queries in relation to that in terms of which polling station they do need to go to. There's some of the queries we get in. We do get some candidate queries in and we are gearing towards the count. So we do tend to leave and try and set up for the count. We'll go and check that the setup's been done correctly at the count locations, and like Oliver said, we've got two count locations, Lee and Wigan, so we have to separate out at that point, don't we? We're not together at the count, generally speaking, so but we do liaise quite a bit with each other. But that's just a massive, immense day. In fact, we're running on adrenaline as well, and we're awake for nearly 24 hours doing our job. But it is, it's been quite pressured.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. On average, how long do you sleep for after an election?
The day after, I usually fall asleep on the couch with a glass of wine, 7 o'clock, and I don't usually finish the wine because, you know, I've come down and I need sleep at that point. So, yeah.
I was going to say as well, just in terms of giving some insight to residents that, you know, who vote, but then maybe haven't, you know, been to the counts, because not many people, I guess, unless you're directly involved in the elections, would actually come down to the count venue. But if you imagine we're split the 25 wards, aren't we, across the borough, but split across the two venues, as you've said. So there's got to be a setup for each one of those ward, numerous candidates, different counting teams, aren't they? All, you know, counting the votes, you know, hundreds and, you know, thousands of votes.
Observers are in there as well.
Observers, you know, the candidates themselves, and, you know, party members.
Press.
Yeah, it's a lot of, again, going back to it, it's a huge, like, organisational task, isn't it? So, yeah. That sounds like a good time to maybe go into an ad break. We'll be back in part two with more from Julie and Oliver.
When you're out, don't spoil the view. Take your rubbish home with you. Keep it clean. Keep it clean, keep it clean, keep it clean. Don't let your litter spoil the scene. Use the bin and keep it clean. Keep it clean. Keep it clean, keep it clean, keep it clean.
So welcome back. We're here for the second part of our election special. It's early April now, and looking ahead to this year's election, what should people be looking out for? Is there any key dates you want to kind of highlight for people?
In April, that's when most residents should have received the poll cards by now. So they get delivered kind of late March into the early part of April. So we always say to residents to make sure that they read through the poll card itself. There's lots of important information on there, notably where they will go and vote, or if it's a postal poll card that, you know, they vote by a post, it'll tell them when the postal vote's going to land. So we do have some polling station changes, so it's always worth double checking your poll card just to make sure that we've not changed your polling station. And yet, always read through the poll card because it also has all of the information regarding what photographic ID they can take to the polling station. So in law, there's only some relevant photographic ID which can be accepted, and that is all listed on the poll card. So that would be my advice.
And in terms of the key deadline dates, for registering to vote, that's Tuesday the 16th of April, and there is now the option to obviously register online. So that registration time is midnight on the 16th of April. If an elector wants to vote by post, the deadline is Wednesday the 17th of April at 5 o'clock. And again, that's a relatively new process that's been brought in by legislation, but they can now register for a postal vote online as well. So that's a new key process that's new this time. And then proxy voting, that's if someone wants to vote on someone else's behalf. That's a later deadline of Wednesday the 24th of April at 5 o'clock. On that same day, Wednesday the 24th of April, there's also the deadline for voter authority certificates. So as Oliver was saying about the voter ID and what can be accepted in polling stations, if anybody doesn't have the relevant ID in possession, such as a passport or a driving licence, for example, they can actually apply to us for a voter authority certificate, and that can be sent out to them. And that's something that they can produce in a polling station to enable them to vote.
So there's lots of important information there. I should say, first off, anything to do with registering to vote, voter ID, the locations across the borough, it's all on the website, isn't it? Or the council's website, so wigan.gov.uk/elections will take you there. I just wanted to go back to one of the things, well, important things this year, that it was brought in last year, wasn't it, the voter ID. Yeah. So, Oliver, could you, or Julie, could you maybe just reiterate, you don't actually need your poll card, do you, to take to the on polling day? You don't have to take that in order to vote, but it's really important, like I say, you need that photographic ID. Can you maybe just talk to us a little bit more about that, and also the fact you can apply for... What's the thing?
The voter authority.
That was it that you mentioned. Yeah. Can you maybe just emphasise that for our for the listeners?
Yeah. So last year it was brought in at the last elections that people need voter ID, which predominantly is things like passports and driving licences. There's a whole list, actually, bus passes, Oyster cards, things like that. But it is all listed on the poll cards, and it will be listed on our websites and on the Electoral Commission websites. There is national campaigns as well around this in terms of what voter ID people need, but they do actually have to have that photographic ID with them in order to vote. Now, there could be some people that don't have any of those forms of ID, and they can apply for that voter authority certificate online and by paper as well. They can come into the town hall with a paper form and a photograph, and that will be produced for them and sent to them in advance of the election, and that entitle them to vote. So that's a voter authority certificate.
So yeah, so the certificate is the alternative, isn't it? Like you've said. And just could maybe just give us that date again for the deadline.
So the deadline is 5 o'clock on Wednesday 24th of April for the voter authority certificate, applying for one.
Brilliant. And it's maybe one of those words that we would recognise in, you know, working for local government. A polling card is actually literally a card, isn't it? It comes through, it's got all the info in it that you just described.
That's exactly it. It's an information card all about the election. It's delivered to each person individually, but the key thing here is they've got to be on the electoral register. So if you don't receive a poll card, it could be that you're not on the electoral register. So that would be your prompt then to go and get registered. So everybody who is on the electoral register will receive an individual poll card named to them personally, and it will set out all of the things that I mentioned earlier, where they go and vote, or if they're a postal voter or a proxy voter, the details around how that will work for them.
Brilliant. And so if someone was going to perhaps vote for the first time, they were feeling a little bit nervous or anxious, or maybe they're going to a new polling station, can you just talk us through a bit more about what they can expect on the day and the process of doing that?
Yeah, of course. So first thing I would say is that, you know, it should be like an exciting time. You know, the first time that you vote, you're going to have your opportunity to have your say. So you should be excited to go and vote for the first time. You know, people have fought for our right to vote, and I really do think it is important. But what to expect, I would suggest that they take the poll card with them to make sure that they know where they're going. They'll be greeted by two of our staff at the polling station. Little side note is that, you know, there's no two polling stations that are the same. You know, we have lots of different, you have community centres, we have pubs, we have churches, we have mobile units, you know. So, you know, depending on where you're voting, you know, you'll see a different kind of venue as well. You'll be greeted by our staff, and when you come through the door, they'll check your name and see if you're on the electoral register. And then what they will do is they will ask to see your photographic ID. So this is where, when you're coming in, you're going to show them either your passport or your driver's license or one of those accepted ID, which is on the poll card. And yeah, they'll be given their ballot paper and they will go cast their votes.
And so I should just clarify, because this is an important note, I think, and we've just touched on it. Polling cards is important because it's got all the info on, it'll help you, but you don't necessarily need it in order to vote, but the photo ID you absolutely need to show. So just to make that
That's
clear.
100% right. You need to bring your photographic ID to vote. You're going to have to show that. You're going to have to be on the electoral register. The poll card is useful, but it's not a requirement. So it can help speed things up. I'm not saying don't bring it. It can help our staff find you on the register quicker.
Yeah.
So if you can bring it, great. But if not, you know, it's not a requirement.
If you've lost it, it's been hoovered or put in the bin at home, whatever, you don't need to panic. As long as you know where you're going, and you'll be fine. I was going to say as well, when we say then you go off and cast your vote. That is, it's as simple as there's the special like split kind of desks, aren't there? So people have privacy. That's an important part of the electoral process.
All votes are cast in private. Yeah. You know, they go to the polling booth. It's in a quadrangle. So, you know, if we're busy, there's up to four units where a person can vote in private. So, yeah.
And it's as easy as there's the list of candidates with the box. You put an X in the box.
Yeah, so for this particular election, we've got one candidate that they need to vote for. So if they vote for more than one, the vote will be rejected. So they can only vote for one candidate at this election.
And it's important to say, so as we mentioned earlier this year, there's the local elections for Wickham Council, but also people can cast their votes in the Greater Manchester mayoral elections. Different sheets of paper then?
Yep, different colours. So we've gone for green for local and yellow for mayoral, just to keep white spur in case there is a general election on the same day.
Right. Also, I should signpost as well our listeners to, we'll be sharing our what to expect on polling day video content that we put together last year, featuring podcast producer Lydia, who will, if you look on the Wigan Council social media channels, Lydia runs you through what to expect on polling day, as we've just described.
So one final question before we go. I'm sure there's plenty of stories you've accrued over your time here at Wigan, but tell us, is there any kind of weird and wonderful, wacky stories you can share with us about your years in elections?
So one that does predominantly stick out in my mind is, on polling day, we started getting reports that there was a bee's nest in the foyer to the polling station. So it was actually creating a bit of chaos. The bee's nest was actually, you could say, causing a stir, so to speak.
A buzz,
yeah. Pardon the pun. So we did actually have to securely remove the bee's nest and obviously get environmental health involved and the environment team, just so that we moved it safely, because obviously we don't want to disrupt bees, but it was causing a bit of hazard of people going into the polling station on the day. So yeah,
there we go. Master of everything in the elections team, having to sort out
jack of all trades, yeah. James, honestly, jack of all trades.
Really.
Surprised we never went out and did it ourselves.
I know.
Brilliant. It's been great to have you on, you two, and thanks very much. And we'll see you on at the count. I think Oliver, I'll be in Lee with you,
yep.
Julie and Rosie in Wigan, I think. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Cheers,
you.
Guys.
Thank
nice
you.
One.
So that was our episode with Oliver and Julie, and we hope you've learned something new from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of interesting information in there. Important details that people need to know in the build-up to May the 2nd. We'll say the date again. And just to reiterate for everybody, all the stuff that we've mentioned and the info about voter ID, register to vote, where you need to go to vote, it's all on the Wigan Council website. So www.wigan.gov.uk/elections. Yeah, Rosie, another great episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very excited to say that by the time we're with you for another episode, the next edition of the Borough Life magazine will be out, which is always a really exciting time for us.
Yeah, we're just working on it now, aren't we, Rosie? So, yeah, looking forward to that one. Thanks very much again.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.